Good evening and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast here on this Wednesday, the 27th of March, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And again, I have with me Mr. David Scorpio. And of course, David's broadcast, I'll have to check out the archive. I missed some due to some tech issues. But the full thing is there from this past week. If you haven't been catching, you should. The Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC, with Scorpio. And that's every Sunday. So that would be four. Four Central, five Pacific. Now, let's see. Well, what else is there to say, David, about, I mean, well, you really think that there's, I mean, I've heard you stress a number of times, you think world opinion toward Jewish power is being shown light like never before, that there's no going back from this, and they may be in uncharted territory. Moving forward, as the dust settles,
I think so. I mean, this is unprecedented. They've abused, of course. I mean, they stole the country to begin with, of course. But you know, using terrorism—that's really very provable if you look at the history. But I don't think, and they've done many massacres over the years. You know, if you look into it, there's like, oh gosh, at least 10 or 12. Massacres that happened, you know, during the founding of Israel, where, you know, they just killed entire villages and put them in mass graves. But this is, the scale of this is certainly unprecedented. I mean, this is the wholesale removal of everyone. I mean, if you look at what northern Gaza looks like now, there's not much left. And I mentioned this before, but, you know, they're using these mega tractors, the biggest ones they make, you know, these giant tractors, and they're scooping up the rubble from what used to be people's neighborhoods and houses and towns and putting them in massive piles and literally scraping the ground clean. So it's as if it was never there. And it really is, they're leveling it. It looks like it's being prepared to be built on. So this is really getting into a realm of very dark behavior that America, at least the government, is supporting. And you're not going to have a civilized world much longer if things like this are allowed to happen anywhere. I mean, really, this is horrible, just to see what's going on and just innocent civilians, you know, losing their homes and their families and everything they've ever had. And somehow Israel has the right to defend itself. Well, I'll tell you, Richard, you know, we all know that the two-state solution is impossible now. You know, they'd have to give up all the illegal settlements to make that happen. That'll never happen. A one-state solution is very unpalatable to the Jews or the Israelis because they will lose their absolute majority and control of Israel, and they'd actually have to live with the Palestinians as, you know, human beings. So that's not going to happen. So I suggest a no-state solution. I think that's the best way forward, a no-state solution. Israel should not exist. That's my honest belief. And history is proving this to be true. And really, the whole region used to be fairly peaceful until Israel came about in 1948. So time to go back to the drawing board and come up with something new, because it really shouldn't exist. It's done nothing but cause problems for everybody involved, including Jews, actually. It's warping them out and making them, it's sort of fulfilling all of the, let's say, stereotype of the Jew. It's being lived in real time, Richard.
And again, if you're even questioning the amount of munitions being sent to Israel, the pace or to be slowed down at all, you're an anti-Semite, and you must want another Holocaust. You know, you don't think the Jews have the right to exist. You don't think Israel has the right to exist, all this. And of course, I'm being, well, no, the
do use such extremes, but of course we know this Holocaust was fabricated. But they just automatically equate any questioning whatsoever, like from the Christian Zio mainstream America voter base.
Yeah, they're 100% on board with it, and it's a real strange belief that to claim to be a Christian and then watch people be slaughtered who were unarmed and somehow justify that in your mind. I'd say it's a form of mental illness to support both at the same time.
And so, yeah, we'll see how things develop. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people who get their paychecks from the government or academia or Hollywood, I mean, even if they, at first, you know, they're just thinking, you know, well, hey, you know, we've been fueled with this BLM and a DEI and, well, critical race theory. So why not stick up for the brown person? How could that ever be wrong now? But then, you know, they kind of, I don't know. You know, I think a lot of people will finally have an epiphany to Jewish power and then just keep playing the system. They just won't put, speak out against it anymore. If you've had some recently, like on the left, if their paychecks are high enough, I'm not so sure they'll keep it up. They'll look at examples like Yay, right?
Yeah. It's strange that just a split in belief. It's almost like a split personality here. It's a real derangement, and there's no logical set of thinking here, or steps in thinking. It's just strange belief stacked on to strange belief, coming to a very bizarre conclusion. So it's not rational, Richard. And the other thing is, you can't possibly argue that this somehow benefits America. All these so-called conservatives you hear on the radio, I'm just amazed. I monitor all the, so-called right media because it's interesting to listen to. But, not a single one of them has questioned any of this and 100% on board. And this, how is this helping America? It's not. You cannot even make that argument if you're the least bit intellectually honest. This does not benefit America. It's actually hurting our country. And there's no reason why Israel and America need to be joined at the hip just because some Jews want it that way.
Exactly. So, I mean, and yeah, that is another thing. I mean, a lot of people will see, and it depends on which way the presidential chair swings. Of course, but well, we
does
all
it? Does it though?
Well, no. I mean, for which people to just realize, yeah, what will happen? Either we'll have Trump supporters realizing how much he, which they should know by now, how much he cows down to Israel. But if we have another Democratic represented presidential, executive branch, and they see, further just how much we stay by Israel, no matter how much they take us down in world opinion, which is happening as we speak.
Exactly, right. Richard. And I would just add that, in regards to Trump, I've heard a lot of these right-wing, so-called right-wing, they're not really right-wing, they're kosher right, talking about how, bragging that Trump is the most pro-Israel president we've ever had. That's a selling point for his campaign, that he is the most pro-Israel president in the history of America. That's what they're actually saying.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, as a selling point, not right, as something bad, but as a selling point, like how wonderful it all is. It was bizarre.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's only so much there for. I couldn't even. Look, as far as. It's just obvious. Yeah, we're not going to turn course from heading into the abyss with Israel. I shouldn't say we, you know, the U.S. government. As far as the, well, optics and the economics, I mean, this green agenda, you know, Biden, whenever you're in a years which don't correspond with elections, you know, he's been hardcore pushing the green agenda. You know, that's one thing far more than something like a Trump administration has thus far. Hurting your pocketbooks, such as with gas prices, and that affects everything, really, the price at the store due to gas and how much it's involved with electric and really the shipping of everything, you know. But, I mean, we're hearing now, once again, Biden's trying to, well, I mean, just like we had when the midterm came, 2022 midterm, where the Strategic Petroleum Reserve was getting dipped into by Biden, a high of 631,000 to 360, well, 1,000 million, from 631,000 million to 360,000 million. So, I mean, you know, about half of them drained. And again, of course, there was, you know, a wax and wane, you know. I mean, in the meantime, he was, courting the, by early 2022, of course, you know, he was courting, you know, all these foreign oil dealers, blasting Saudi Arabia, though, as a pariah nation, you know, in 2020. But, you know, according to like Saudis, Venezuelans, Iranians, even by default, the Russians to pump more oil. But now, once again, well, in non-election years, this other quote, Biden and company blast fossil fuels as doomed and dirty. In election years, they beg others to pump the icky goo to surface. At least until November 2024, expect surreal petroleum-filled restraints. Restraint as Iranian surrogates freely hit more U.S. targets. Venezuela, without worries, will threaten its neighbors, pariah Saudis. For a while longer, stay our new old strategic partner. The murderer, in quotes, Putin's oil is off limits. And then secondly, the ultra-MAGA and semi-fascist Trump, their words, becomes broke Don, who's foreclosed upon and who plans an insurrection and civil war on January 6th after praising racists in Charlottesville and damning dead GIs as suckers. Who wrote this? Victor Davis Hanson.
That's interesting, Richard, because he's Victor Davis Hanson. He's a real conservative. You know, he's a guy that's been on Sean Hannity's show quite a bit.
Okay. Well, yeah, he certainly is echoing the official story.
Well, that's why he's on Sean Hannity's show, Richard.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no, I have to get the drill. Yeah, so Anyway, so the last bit of this, thirdly, Biden will give lots of free stuff to win votes. They're saying despite a $35 trillion national debt, expect massive new student loan debt cancellation, amnesties as well before November. After 10 million illegal entries, anticipate sudden, tough, but otherwise empty Biden gibberish about securing the border. There will be louder cries for Israel to stand down and essentially resuscitate Hamas. So again, Biden's talking points they mentioned and all this. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, what we're stressing is just how much this guy, again, is reinforcing the cucked Republican official story on anything that could possibly be seen as pro-white or anti-Semitic, David.
Well, yeah, and you know, I find the school loan thing kind of interesting because it's never been explained to me how the cost of college has skyrocketed really in one generation to the point where an average college kid can't go to college without getting deeply in debt unless his parents are fairly well-to-do. You know, for example, my mother went to San Diego State, and she paid for her college working a part-time job. She paid for her tuition with that. And one of my uncles, he actually went to Berkeley, which would probably be $50,000 a year now. He worked part-time at a gas station and paid for his tuition. So how do we go from that sort of economic possibility to the idea that college is $50,000 a year just for tuition? How did that happen? And I don't think the right solution is writing off the loans. That's just like a freebie, and it kind of screws over all the kids that like went to trade school or community college and didn't get themselves in debt. But this is an issue that's never talked about. Why is college so expensive in America? What happened in one generation, Richard? And of course, college is mostly free in Israel just by chance, but we got to keep giving them money because, they're our greatest ally, Richard.
Wow. Well, why am I not surprised, though? But yeah, mostly free there. Because they have true nationalism, what they forbid any white nations to have whatsoever.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they do. And it's actually it's nationalism taken to the extreme to where screw everybody else but us. And, there has to be a balance in nationalism. You want to look after your own country first, but you can't do it at the expense of other people. You can't say, hey, we're going to take your stuff because, all that matters is us. But you're very right. This is absolutely forbidden to have a nationalistic country in any white or European country. How come Israel isn't taking in refugees from all these different, like when the whole Syria thing happened, Israel's right next door almost. Well, how come they didn't take any refugees,
But also, yeah, a culture with their people who have to do harm to other cultures as part of their success strategy, survival strategy, that's, Darwinian strategy.
Yeah, you're right. That is exactly true. That's very true about Judaism. You're spot on, Richard. At least Talmudic Judaism,
Yeah, indeed. So, what they paint as the narrative of World War II and Adolf Hitler, that he wanted to take over the world and he wanted to exterminate all races which weren't white. Some might even say, oh, well, no, even white ones that weren't Aryan, eventually he was going to take out and all this. And so, of the, Nordic or wherever. But, yeah, they are. When you look at the sort of narrative on, say, the Hitler Channel, the History Channel, or any of these just completely embellished, lacking any rational historical or World War II revisionism whatsoever, which the way they want you to see Hitler as this madman psychopath trying to wipe out other races, most all other races, and take over the world, that is what Israel is literally doing. It's just a perfect example of what Jews time and again throughout the eons with their projection can't resist blaming on their enemy that which they are themselves guilty of.
Oh, very well said, Richard. Exactly. That's spot on. You put that very well.
Well, yes. Thank you. And it's hard to go back to these Biden talking points after that. So, I don't know. Is there anything else to mention? We're hearing global CBDCs are moving along. Rollout continues apace.
Terror yes, and Russia is participating in that as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think maybe this was touching on that. They start out by talking about China, whose digital yuan was a major flagship CBDC, is in the middle of an immense trial covering over 25 million people. This week they released new guidelines for tourists using CBDCs for the first time. And see more in Hong Kong. Then it talks about Europe and the Digital Euro Conference, the rule book that they're publishing. They mentioned Sweden in specific, and the UAE. Talking about reviving Latin American economies with CBDCs. But let's see. Yeah, I don't see this article mentioning Russia. I mean, at the start, they make a reference, terror attacks in Moscow, ongoing genocide in Gaza, cancer in the royal family are dominating the headlines. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, but then they had never actually mentioned Russia as being involved in it, David. But yeah, it's so interesting that you heard that.
Oh, no, they definitely are. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, oddly enough, Russia is building smart cities as well. So what I kind of see is that they get whatever parts of the agenda they can, depending on what the country is and the resistant points within that country. But they do have this agenda working forward in one form of, or another in just about every country in the world. And it seems like any country that resists enough ends up having a massive earthquake or some kind of catastrophe happen at just the right moment. It's kind of strange.
Indeed. It's funny how those things can be the case. And as far as, well, some other in my headline rollout here, we have activist California judge tossing Elon Musk's ex-censorship lawsuit against dark money anti-hate group. There's a mouthful, huh? A California judge has tossed out a lawsuit from social media platform X against the center. The center, or it must mean center four. Center for Countering Digital Hate. Okay, so a lawsuit from X against Center for Countering Digital Hate, contending X is not entitled to seek restitution against the organization because third-party advertisers left the platform following CCDH's campaign against it. The lawsuit alleged CCDH had unlawfully accessed and scrapped data from X in order to conduct misleading studies that found a rise in hate speech following Elon Musk's acquisition of the social media platform in late 2022. Oh, yeah, yeah, because yeah, he's such an anti-Semite and white supremacist, Elon, right, David?
Yeah, well, I've pointed out many times I'm very suspicious of Elon on a variety of levels, but the lawsuit sounds like a pretty bad lawsuit to begin with, because it's going to be very hard to prove that that's the reason that the third party advertisers pulled out. So I mean, there is a real problem with these judges essentially becoming activist judges and doing whatever they want. I mean, it's totally out of control, and I don't see how you reel that back in either. I don't think it's reformable, but it's a bad lawsuit because you're going to have a real hard time proving that. And, you know, I think sometimes these lawsuits are made that way intentionally. A lot of Trump's lawsuits to try to stop the election fraud were, I thought they were intentionally bad and doomed to failure on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, there's no question some of this is probably the case, but it's ridiculous how we know how tame, I mean, even for being from South Africa, at least how he presents himself publicly, is very tame regarding talking about Jewish power or talking about anything that's truly pro-white. But he is starting to give some quotes out there in recent months, I've noticed.
Well, Richard, there's a lot of
anti-white, you know, talking about the anti-white. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say there's a lot of evidence that, you know, Elon Musk's mother is actually Jewish.
Well, he's not going to say it's Jews who are behind the anti-white agenda. He's talking about the anti-white agenda, sticking up for whites and recognizing the anti-white agenda. But he's not there saying Jewish power is behind it. No. So, yeah, I still find it hard to believe his mom is Jewish because, that is the level he won't go past, which would make all the difference, really.
Well, look at some pictures of her. That's why I tend to give the theory some credence. Some people trace her background as being Jewish. I can't confirm that 100%, but let's say it's certainly probable or likely.
Sure. But, of course, even if he's a Gentile, same with Bill Gates. I mean, I don't find him just as formidable and on their side.
Well, I don't think Bill Gates is a Gentile, personally. Mm-hmm. I think he's a crypto Jew. And let's face it, every day he looks a little bit more like Woody Allen. So I think there's a reason for that, Richard.
Yeah, you're probably right. You know, and I believe Murr sent me some good info on that, too. I haven't had time to regarding Mr. Gates. But the company says, well, X, you know, says CCDH. Cherry-picked posts to drive advertisers away, resulting in tens of millions of dollars in losses. Again, you say, yeah, it's of course hard to prove, but I'm sure they did cherry-pick things to make them seem more hardcore, the average Twitter user, than they are, and that Elon is a more hardcore platform than he is. You know, I mean, something more comparable to like Gab, it was probably trying to come off as, right?
Cherry-picking
of the posts to incriminate him, they probably, if I were to speculate. I
mean, oh, yes, I would agree that if you cherry-pick the right posts, I mean, that's possible with anything. So, yeah, I think that happens a lot, Richard, to skew someone one way or the other just by cherry-picking things and not looking at the overall context of what's being said.
Indeed. So I don't know how much more is worth looking into that one there. Well, again, it'd be taking callers as they come. I see there's someone already in the queue for the last half hour. I could point out a couple of a world where equity evaporates and affordability feels like a distant dream. The fight for the American dream has never been more real. And, this was just pointing out just how difficult, you know, it's been, especially since the pandemic era, the so-called pandemic.
Yes.
A lot of their investments, home ownership investments, you know, they've devalued as much as things are continuing to rise now. It's just amazing the timing hits the, you know, private homeowner. Funny how that happens. But yes, we'll be right back, folks.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished, and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey and David Scorpio. And well, but this headline here, David, really sums it up. Just to compare, it can't continue with simultaneous attacks on our way of life with rising costs while wages are stagnant. And my lifetime has seen perhaps the most stagnant wages that there have been, going back through my parents' and grandparents' era. I mean, with the rise of, living, cost of goods, everything, the average salary would go up accordingly. I knew that was the case, when they were young to when they were, middle-aged and beyond, again, both my grandfather and father. I mean, wouldn't you say the same thing, David? I mean, that's pretty much, our Generation X era is pretty much when it suddenly changed.
Well, yeah, I think Generation X is unique in a couple of ways, because we were sort of the last generation to really kind of get a taste of the fumes that were left over from the baby boomer generation. Because it's not their fault, but the boomers really experienced the greatest period of prosperity in America, at least in modern times. And the Xers sort of got the last taste of that before it really started to change. Because I remember when I was a young man, you could live very cheap still, even in a place like San Diego. I remember the very first apartment I rented was $400, and it was like four blocks from the beach. You know, that'd probably be $3,000 to rent that now. And it, and believe me, it was nothing fancy. You know, it was just the location of it. So there is an economic war on America. And again, I'm amazed that this isn't the top issue that isn't being talked about by our alleged government, because this attack upon the middle class and this people's ability to get by is very dangerous, because once you have a country of rich and poor, it's a guarantee you're going to have a totalitarian state emerge from that. And I think the people that run the show know that, and that's why they're doing it, to be honest.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, it was a bit artificial, but true. I mean, after World War II, for the U.S., we hadn't been bombed to hell, and so we were able to be the manufacturing giant that we were, and that really helped, you know, the blue collar man to live a very middle class life, really. So there was something that they had that you know, you didn't see in the generation prior, you know, that baby boomer. Well, the post-World War II era.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, you know, Generation Xers, we're the last generation to remember the world without the internet. You know, I spent, you know, I was in my, 30s before the internet was really a thing. And cell phones, I remember when nobody had cell phones were something the rich people had, but back in the 80s, if you had a cell phone, you know, you had some money. That was kind of a status symbol, you know. So I think this other unique thing about Xers, we're the last generation to remember the world pre-internet. All the younger people, it's been with them their entire lives.
I agree. We should do some more segments on this, because we do have an interesting perspective both on what's before and what's after our era. Let's jump to calls if that works for you.
Sounds good, brother.
Okay. Well, let's see here. I'm trying to bring up my I don't know why. There we are. Okay. So let's see. First, as long as we still have everyone, I guess we first have Jerry in Chicago. Hey, welcome, Jerry.
Well, thank you guys for taking my call. I just wanted to weigh in on one thing, but since you made that other comment about computers, I wasn't aware of computers until I was about 36 years old. So, and I'm 63 now, so... but anyway, you made a comment, something about the captain was Ukrainian on that ship. I'd give or take that. I mean... It's like saying, you know, I'm part German, I'm part Czech, I'm part Austrian, and Irish. So, you know, did I do any wrongs, you know, being born that? Let's put it this way. The way I understand it is the captain of that ship is put to the side, and somebody, I forget what their term is and everything else like that, pulls that barge, aims that barge out of that area. So the captain is just on the deck, but he has no say-so because these other guys know the water better than him. So I don't want to jump into details or anything else like that, but...
I agree with you. I was just saying, I'm just putting that information out there, and I did put some caution behind that. Like, it may not mean anything at all, but it is interesting, especially when you look at, you know, there was just this odd terrorist attack in Russia that, you know, the Ukrainians would be the people that would benefit from that the most, and Israelis, you know, working together. So, but again, I get your point, and I agree. It may not mean anything at all.
You know, but this other, this same boat had an incident, I guess, back in 2016 in Europe. It ran into something. I mean, is it just, is it just the fate of the ship, or did they take it over by wireless control through the 5G network and everything else like that and aim it at this killer? You know, that's a possibility. I mean, I look at these fires that happened in Hawaii and everything else like that. Anybody with a blue roof was saved. Does that make any sense to you with a fire?
No, it doesn't. That whole thing is, you know, a lot of unanswered questions there. And I would just add that I recently heard, Governor Josh Green, who just happens to be Jewish, talking about the rebuilding, because I've been tracking this. Like, they still haven't even cleared the burned houses away the last time I checked a couple weeks ago. And Governor Josh Green was saying it's going to take 5 years to rebuild those homes. Something's wrong there. That's there. I think they're just waiting for this to go down the memory hole long enough before they enact their plan they had all along, whatever that is.
Well, we don't have deep memories in this country, so I'm guessing it's going to take a lot less than 5 years. So, well, but anyway, thanks for taking my call. Get on to the next caller. Thank you very much for your show.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good call.
Next, we have Max in New York. Max, welcome.
Good evening. People good evening. Still listen to the Jews?
Well, you know, I mean, if they believe what's on, they believe what's on the corporate news, and you know,
we can't really talk about wages as long as we're under this Jewish banking disaster. And I don't call.
I was going to mention academia, academia as well. I mean, you know, they believe what's taught at the university, you know, and then they believe what's on the corporate media. If they don't believe the corporate media, they at least believe a lot of what's in our books, you know, our history books, our social studies. I mean, but you know, anything about genealogy has been distorted. I mean, in so many ways. Go ahead.
I try to reduce everything to the lowest common denominator. It's not government. It's Jewish organized crime. It's not Republicans. It's Jewish organized crime. It's not Democrats. It's Jewish organized crime. It's not the Constitution. It's the Bar Association, which is Jewish organized crime. So they've completely covered everything and control every facet of your life. I mean, you know, look at Trump. I've been studying law my whole life. It's just one of those passions I got, so to understand the spirit of law. And you look at Trump. Now, let me ask you a question. Would Thomas Jefferson ever hire a lawyer? Probably not. Here's Trump with two lawyers. They probably never objected. Is there a jury? Or are they just talking? And Trump's going along with it. And I'm like, this is when I completely lose faith. Not that I had any faith, because I think government's idol worship of the goy anyway. So I have very little confidence in the future with either of these clowns. Either way, I still got to pick up my mess. And I don't know, man. You know, I'm stuck between the idiot Gentiles and this Jewish organized crime syndicate. So, you know, but I've been pushing back in court. I was saying stupid things like, I'm not a Gentile, meaning your laws don't apply to me. And they're like, then they're like, you can leave now, before I even go in front of the judge. I was like, wow. I did that two more times. They just asked me to leave before I even go in front of the judge. So I'm on to something. Like, I'm trying to figure how do you get to the court and without representation. I've recognized it as an organized crime syndicate, and they like ask me to leave now.
Yeah, you know, I remember, not on my show maybe, but on someone else's show, and I find that fascinating, actually, where they just maybe don't want you to talk about Jews and Jewish power related to the whole legal system, Legalese Bar Association. David, do you want to make a comment?
Well, yeah. You know, Rich, he brings up some good points, Max, there. You know, I was just referring to the wage issue in terms of normie politics. Like, You're right. The core issue, of course, is the phony banking system, the phony money we have, the magic shekels we have that rule our universe or our world, essentially. But just in terms of normie politics, no one's even talking about the wage issue and the inflation issue. No, in fact, really, nobody's talking about any important issues. It's all nonsense like TikTok and, you know, worrying about what is like, well, let's give more money to Israel. Let's give more money to Ukraine. Not talking about the horrible lack of infrastructure investment in this country for like the last 50 years, at least, or just the maintenance on the infrastructure. There's so much deferred maintenance in this country on basic infrastructure that it's just really shocking.
We just spend trillions on nothing. Nothing. Just junk. More anarchy. It's just like we pay government to steal our property. And then they hand it to the Orthodox Jews. That's what's literally going on in my area. And it's like I'm having a really bad Jew hate day.
No, I under,
now
I,
to put up the house. I have those LED lights on their house, and they leave them on all night. And there's already regulations. I've looked it up. New York's passed lighting ordinances now because these lights are. It's not like a little 40-watt incandescent bulb on the porch. These things are lighting up your backyard. You see the shadows of the trees, and they're doing this deliberately to gaslight me. So if you don't hear from me, I'm either in prison or something. Because I'm about to put a baseball bat on these motherfuckers. I'm sorry.
Whoa. You've got to watch that language on the,
yeah,
on the air there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, just sweep that out.
You know, that. Yeah, no, I mean, that weaponized economic system, that anti-white Judaic banking system, the dog whistle song. The rich men north of Richmond's a good dog whistle for that. What else are you going to add, Max?
The Federal Reserve System, okay? There is opportunity, but people just waste it. I try to live a very efficient life, you know, but there's so much outside influences and vices and toys people want to buy, and they waste, you know, people gamble. I mean,
well, listen, we got quite a few building up.
You still have an opportunity with the Federal Reserve if you're smart, but people are stupid. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I mean, no, that's the best way they keep control is by having control over the money system. I mean, I'm not arguing any of that.
Listen, if people were awake, we wouldn't be asking for donations for RBN. We wouldn't have to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe we could have.
But, like, no, but listen, I have a bunch in the queue. I really gotta go to the next one. But I appreciate your next call as well, Max. And thank you for listening. We have Dan in Washington. Dan, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hopefully everything's going okay in Florida there for you. I'm watching a new series on Netflix called Bloodline. It's kind of filmed in Florida. It's kind of a cool series, but I don't know if you've seen that. But the Florida vibe. Hopefully it's good to you. anyway, check out Bloodline if you got Netflix. But anyway, the Russian thing, my buddy's a Russian, and his take is that the guy was from Ukraine, but he's basically a Russian from Ukraine, because he said he saw a picture of the guy, and he said, yeah, he's Russian, and he thinks it's a bridge for a bridge. You know, America was going to take out that Crimea bridge, and then he had this terror attack in Russia, so that's his theory. I'm not saying he's 100% right or whatever, but that's something to think of, too, that the Ukrainians, a lot of them are just Russians, you know, that side with Russia. So,
David, do you have a thought on?
That's an interesting theory. I like it. I think there's real possibility there. One thing's for sure with any of these mass shooting events, you can be certain we're not getting the real story, you know, from the press. And there's a whole murky world that creates these events and pulls them off. And some of them are real, some of them aren't. You know, so it's a tricky thing to look into. But either way, that this is certainly Ukraine has a role in this in some level, and the Jews in Ukraine, and therefore Israel and America.
It reminded me, at first I was thinking, because I remember in the Philippines, it was like a destroyer or something ran into a cargo ship, and we were having issues with Russia. But I know Russia has very advanced electromagnetic warfare ability. I think, so that's something to think of too, is Russia, is just sending a signal to America, after the terror attack and all the crap that they've been doing. It's hard to say, Russia or Ukraine, either way, I don't know. But real quick on the college thing, I mean, they got to reform the whole system, but I'm for, whenever something comes to benefit the American people, the Republicans always put up this rob Peter to pay Paul narrative, And, but when it comes to, like, trillions in bailouts for the banks or war for Ukraine or a trillion in defense, they don't use that same analogy. You're taking money out of Joe's pocket to give it to a big defense contractor. So I just, these guys say they're against abortion, but, if you saddle a young generation with, like, crushing debt, you're basically killing that generation. And I don't blame young people for going to college. A lot of these boomers say, well, that's what you get for going to college or whatever, but they were told to go to college because they said that's what you got to do to get a job, and they were lied to by the system, and so anyway,
a lot of good points and good logic there. Appreciate your calls. Thank you, Dad.
Thanks.
And let's see, we have Bobby in Florida. Bobby, hey, good to hear from you.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, I've been telling you I was talking about moving to Thailand. I had some more of my friends come back from there. One of my friends, he's going to move there. His wife's going to teach there, and he's going to live there. And another friend of mine, his wife is from there. He's from South Africa, a real cool guy. You guys would love to talk with this guy. And he went there, and he's going to retire in a couple of years. If you have $25,000, okay, you put it in their bank, and you got in a Thai bank, and you got $1,000 a month income coming in, you can retire and live there. And he says the people are there so nice. It's not like here. Like, if there was a big crisis there, the people there aren't like they are here. I mean, it's one place you can go where you even park your car and put it in neutral if you're, like, in a crowded parking lot, and the people will come and move your car. I mean, you trust me. You can put your wallet and set it on ATM. He told me if they do crime over there, here, criminals, you'll just never see them again. And that's pretty good. That's pretty cool, because I'm not a criminal. So I've been thinking a lot about that. I mean, there are places on the planet you could go that are better than, I mean, the people don't act like animals, like Japan. I mean, for as many people as there, they're not real violent people. Of course, they're not allowed to have guns and things, but I'm looking for a way out of all this, because this don't look like it's getting any better.
Right. David, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, that's a real interesting call. I appreciate hearing that. I lived in Ecuador for almost 6 years, 5.5 years. I was an expat, and I had no intention of ever coming back to America, and I understand your thinking. But, living in a foreign country is, it's hard to understand what it's like till you actually do it. And you'll always be an outsider in that place. And honestly, I don't blame you at all for wanting to leave this country. There's so many problems here. But on another level, I think America is kind of the last stand in a lot of ways. And all countries are going to be targeted, not just America. They want to take every country in the world down to a slave factory level.
Wouldn't you rather be somewhere where, when it all goes down, where people are not so violent? I mean, like you tell me there, the people are just really nice there. I guess everyone has their, except the power went out. Like, the power goes out here. Things go bad here.
Well, you know, if you turn into Mad Max real quick, but the people here just act like savages. At a football game, you know, a football game in a parking lot, someone loses their
brother. Okay, Robbie, I gotta jump, Robbie. I got two more to try to get to, but I always like hearing from you.
Okay.
But let's go to Miles in Maine. Hey, Miles. Hey, welcome. What's on your mind?
Good evening, gentlemen. How you doing there?
Hey, Miles.
Okay, I've got some information here. I don't know if I haven't heard anybody talking about this, but Tennessee is attempting or has passed a bill about the chemtrails, and the two gentlemen that are behind the bill are Representative Monty Frith and Senator Steve Sutherland, and they sure could use some encouragement because they're taking a beating. They're being called, you know, the typical names and conspiracy theorists. So I'd like to be able to give this number out, and anybody can call and give them an attaboy. If you know somebody who can speak on the subject that might be able to show up there at their legislature, that'd be great. So if you don't mind, can I give those numbers out?
Please, go ahead, Miles. Yes.
Okay, it's Representative Monty Frith, and his number is 615-741-7658. Monty Frith. He's the representative there. 615-741-7658. And the senator behind the bill as well, his name is Steve Sutherland. Number 615-741-3851. And that's Senator Steve Sutherland in Tennessee, 615-741-3851. And you know, what makes this important is because if this bill can get passed, this could be the boilerplate around the country. And you won't be hearing conspiracy theorists much anymore after that, but these guys have stepped out there. And when we talk about standing behind people, these are the kind of people that need to be stood behind. They went out there and they were brave enough to come up and take this heat. And this is important not only for Tennessee, but the whole country. Every state could do this. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you. Appreciate that, Miles. Have a good night, sir. I apologize for the caller I wasn't able to get to tonight. If you could call back tomorrow, that would be great. David, great to have you here as always, sir. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you,
Richard. Look forward to your show Sunday.
All right. Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, please support RBN so that we will speak again soon. And until then, transcend the construct. Regards.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.